Welcome to Higher Ground Ministries, where we believe God's Word still speaks today. Our mission is to teach the truth of God's Word from generation to generation, building up believers and reaching hearts with the hope of Christ. Each week, we share messages from our church services, praying they strengthen your faith and encourage your heart. Join us in person or online Sundays at 10 a.m. and Tuesdays and Thursdays at 7 p.m. For more information, visit hgministries.org.
4 years.
4 years.
Happy anniversary.
Praise God.
Praise
Amen.
God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, like I did say, I was going to have them come up here. I don't know if you both want to come up or if just Matt does, but just Matt. I kind of had a feeling that would be the case. So, Matt, if you just come up here for a moment. Like I said, I talk about all my friends all over the place. He's up here with us. Is that on? Hello.
Not out loud.
I don't know. That's what we need. I only ran sound here for, I don't know, 20 years for my father-in-law, so.
It's working.
There we go.
Hello.
So this is one of our dear friends, and it's just an honor for him to be up here. And like I said, I know the danger of putting a mic in a global preacher's hands.
And I warned him.
And he did warn me. So, but just to get up here, say hi and say something, and, you know, because, hey, this kingdom is, we're moving forward. God's doing some great things. And I'm just honored to be able to do this with great friends and be able to preach and friends and preaching friends and partners. And so just say hi, say something. You got something?
I'm going to say a couple things for sure. First, I'm thankful to be with Angel. He's a brother from another mother. He's from the Chi-Town, or we really represent. No offense here, East Coast, it's all good, but.
We've also learned not to bring up food.
Oh, don't even. There ain't no.
Because you know, though we think Boston's got some of the greatest food, we argue with the Chicagoans, if that's a thing, that's what I'm calling them, because no, theirs is good, ours is good, so.
Well, there's no competition, so it doesn't matter.
So we're just not gonna talk about it.
It's all good. We let you talk, and I'm not going to offend you. You can think what you want to think. I tell Angel all the time, I named my daughter after you, man. That's how beautiful you are. That's how beautiful you are.
Yes.
She's like, I'm a girl, Dad. I'm like, I know. It's okay, sweetie. It's okay. I love you both. But yeah, John, he's an amazing friend. Honestly, he's a mighty man of God. I know you know him as pastor, but I know him as friend, and he's older than me, and so I can call him sir, and I feel good about it. Those are his words. He's just John. But yeah, we've known each other for years. Honestly, don't even know how many. But it's been an honor and a blessing, because I basically set everything in my life as honor. I'll drive anywhere.
Yes.
I mean, I drove from Florida to come to let him prophesy snow. When I left snow, I left Chicago, I left snow. I come here, and I'm working out in the gym, and it's snow. I'm like, that ain't snow. That's just heavy rain. That can't be snow. It's snow. Why is it snowing here? And then I told my mom, she's like, is that normal? I'm like, of course it is. Of course it's normal here. We're in Massachusetts. I mean, but it's a blessing to be here. God put it on my heart to actually, Dr. Barkley being here was a bonus. Because I came here for John. That's why I came here. Dr. Barkley is just a bonus. God put it on my heart to give John something that was extremely beyond valuable to me. But I drove here and I gave it to him, and I love Katie, your pastor, but she's like, how about if we do it this way? I'm like, let's not do that. I just want to walk up into his garage. And I want to surprise him, because I'm not just a car guy. I am a car. You know, like Phil Driscoll says, I am a trumpet. I am a car. I'm beyond a car guy. It's not even a hobby for me. It's an existence. Like, I mean, to me, it's like, I know. I mean, chariot. I mean, Jesus absolutely has to be in some kind of Huracan Lamborghini or something. And then he has muscle cars here. I like old muscle cars. I got all that, but I'm a car guy, but I wanted to give this special gift to him in his prayer closet, which is his garage, because that's my prayer closet. But it was a blessing to drive all that, those miles to be here. I drive anywhere. I drive anywhere for this man. I drive anywhere.
Yep.
I would do whatever it takes, because that it's we say friends, but we're talking about family.
Yeah.
And we're not even talking about the world calls family. We're talking about core.
Yes.
We're talking about no matter what, thick through thin, no matter what nobody says.
Yep.
That's who we are. Nothing's going to change that because the circumstance changes. That's not how I put my faith in. It's not in circumstances. My faith is in God. So if God's the same yesterday and today and forever, then God is the God who keeps us together.
That's right.
But I want to share one more thing, one testimony. Me and my wife have been married 24 years this August, and we couldn't have kids for 12 years. The doctor said, you won't ever have kids. Yeah. You'll never have kids. And it's a long story short, but I was in the park, I was mad at God, and I said, God, I don't know why you can't bring me a baby. Everybody, I come from 12 kids in my family. Wow. Everybody in my kids have kids. Everybody has kids. There's 57 grandkids.
That's so a big family.
I went to the park, and I was playing basketball. Long story short, there's a little boy on the court about four or five years old, and everybody, I said, whose kid is that? And they said, that's your kid. I'm like, I drove up in a car. Are you guys a little mentally challenged here? Like, you all were on the court. I drove up. He was here. Long story short, he came up to me, and he said, will you wait for me? We're in the middle of the game. I paused the game, and he said, will you wait for me? And he looked right at me, kept on saying, I said, fine, kid. I'm so annoyed with you. I turned around to tell the guy, I said, I'll wait. I got to wait for this kid. And I turned back around, and the kid was gone.
Yep.
And that's the middle name of my son. His name was Michael.
Amen.
Church changes your life. God changes your life. You got to be in church.
Amen.
If I wasn't in church, I wouldn't have had the faith to be steadfast. I wouldn't have learned. If I wasn't in church as a little kid, I wouldn't have learned how to be a faithful friend. Got to be in church. Got to be thankful. God's everything.
Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. If you didn't pick up on that, you know, we're kind of accused up here. You know, the Boston comes out, and you could tell there was a little bit of Chicago there, couldn't you? It's like when Kim gets going, she's kind of reserved, but then all of a sudden you hear New York coming out of her. We may move, we may go, but the city never leaves us. Amen. It comes out every once in a while, so praise God. No, we are truly blessed. God has, you know, my wife and I were talking about this yesterday, and this isn't just for us. I'm exhorting for a few moments. This is for all of you as well. We live in a very different day. We know that. Things are shifting. Jesus said that I didn't come to bring peace. He says, in fact, I came with a sword. I came to divide. Now, it's not his intent just to break up families, but there'll be a divide because you're either going to walk with God or not. You can't have one foot in both. It's one or the other. And when he said, when I come, people are just going to make that decision. It's either him or not. And because of that, it will bring a divide. But in church, God restores what you may have lost out there or what may be on pause out there for a season. Because we're believing all of our families coming to Christ. Are you? We're believing that even those who walked away are coming back. Aren't you? We never give up. So, but in the midst of that, it's amazing what God will bring to replace if he needs to. And, you know, we went through a season in our church and our ministry, you know, when Kate's dad stepped into heaven, it felt like all of our friends disappeared. But then since then, we've been blessed with some of the greatest friends on this planet. And what he said, I know that hands down, not just because of this weekend. I know that hands down, if I needed something, he's one of those that I could count on. Whatever it took, he'd be there. I have a couple other ones that, without a shadow of a doubt, I'd make a phone call, they'd be there. One would probably have to break some laws to do it, but I know he'd be there. But still, it just, when you have that, and you know it's God, There's nothing better on this earth outside of walking with Jesus Christ. Amen. So I'm so grateful for our friends. Amen. So just give Matt and Teresa a good hand clap. Praise God. Again, honored to have them here with us. Praise God. And they tolerate angels, so that's just an extra blessing. So hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now today we are dedicating another other moochie child. Amen. So this morning, though the service is geared towards, because my theme verse is going to be train up a child in the way that they should go, the message is not just for the moochies. It's for all of us. Amen. But I want to just, if you guys would come up here right now, we want to just pray over you, bless you, and then we're going to preach at you, as well as the rest of the church. Amen. Okay. What do you have? Huh? You guys don't have to sit, or you can go sit, stand, stay. All right. I didn't even know they were still back there. Praise God. All right. I can never remember. How many?
There's nine.
Nine. You have figured out what causes this, right? I'm just. Oh, dear Lord. Yeah, ushers, you can be seated for just a moment. Praise God. It's amazing what God can do. When we surrender to Him. It's, you know, not going down paths or anything, but just, you know, Jackie, you grew up one way, you grew up another way. Of course, then when Moochie's name comes up in the city, wait a minute, Moochie goes to your church?
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, he goes to our church. He's also one of our security, one of our ushers. Wait, he works in the church? Only God.
Yes.
Only God could take a bunch of goofed up, messed up, falling apart people,
yeah,
put us all back together,
seriously,
and then have us all function together,
yes,
to serve this great kingdom.
Thank you, Lord.
Only God can do that. Amen. Only God could take Boston, Chicago, and New York, bring them all together in the same building and not have a rumble. Only our God could do these
Thank
things.
You, Lord.
Only our God could take California and Kentucky and bring them together.
Yes, literally.
Nothing's impossible with our God.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. And then, of course, God, and because we can't do this without His help, would entrust us with that next generation.
Yes. Seriously.
These beautiful gifts from heaven. Only God. And of course, we also understand only God can help us.
Yes.
But as you guys stand here today, it's an honor to be your pastor, pastors, to stand with you. I say this, baby dedications and weddings. I'm invested.
Yeah.
This isn't just a certificate. This isn't just a laying on of hands. We're with you till the end. We're going to pray for you. Encourage you, remind you, and if need be, because I'm a good pastor, I'll rebuke you. But only because I love you.
Right.
But to stand here today with you, first before God, and then second, in front of this body of believers,
yeah,
your family, to stand with you in agreement that this precious little gift, that's grandma, this precious little gift, who is a little chunk, is an inheritance from heaven.
Yes.
And you keep your walk with God part of your legacy. Absolutely. If Jesus tarries. This is why church is so important. Because what God does here to help you raise this little gift in all of them.
Yeah,
you too. They're spread out throughout the room.
Yeah.
All the moochies, raise your hand right now.
I love it.
Yeah. Papa Moochie's here.
Nana Moochie's here.
I thought I saw you guys back there. Thank you for being with us this morning. But all the kids, they're part of your legacy. This is why church is so important, to help you help them start to walk what God has for them. Amen. This isn't about a certificate. It's exactly what we're calling this. It's a dedication.
Yeah.
Now, she belongs to God, just like all your kids belong to God. But you are dedicating your lives not just to raise her as your child, but raise her as a child of God.
Yes.
Raise her in the things of God. Raise her in the house of God. That's why we're doing this. This is your declaration to God that, thank you, Lord, for blessing us. Now, what's our commitment to make sure she fulfills the call that you have for her? Amen. That's what this is about today. So, church family, would you stretch your hands with us right now?
Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
As we lay hands on them and just bless them. Look at you. You're just kind of chilling back.
He is. I love it.
Hey, you. Another blessing from heaven.
Yes.
So, Father, we thank you right now for this couple. Lord, we thank you. Whatever the roads were in the past, thank God we sang the song, Your Blood.
Yes.
It's rewriting our history.
I love it.
But ultimately bringing us into your destiny. Whatever the roads were, it brought us here.
Right.
And Lord, I'm so grateful to be the pastor over both of them. I've known Jackie almost all of her life. Vinny, these last several years have been a blessing and a trip. But it's awesome seeing what God's doing.
Yes.
And he's not done.
That's right.
So Father, I thank you right now as we just lay hands on both of them right now. Lord, I thank you for the anointing, your anointing to be on them.
Yes.
To parent in this day. It's a wicked day. It's an evil day. We can see that.
Right.
The world knows it. We need your anointing today more than ever before. And Lord, we thank you that your anointing for this very hour is here for us to raise our babies, regardless of how old they are. We're anointed to do this. So Father, I thank you for your anointing to be on them.
Yes.
To raise this precious little gift from heaven. Father, I thank you right now. We lay hands on her.
Yes.
Lord, we speak health, strength, life, and your anointing on her.
Yes.
That she will fulfill. See, you're staring at me like most people stare at me. But she will fulfill the call that you have for her. Father, we thank you right now that your hand of blessing is upon this family.
Yes.
That they will serve you in your house, outside of your house, all the days of their life. Lord, we thank you for this. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Matt, can I put you on the spot again? Come up here. I'm not having him come up just because he's my friend and he's a preacher, but he comes from 12 kids.
Mm-hmm.
The four boys are all preachers. His older brother's in Texas now, right? He's starting a church in Jacksonville. His two other brothers are still in Chicago. They're all preachers. God has a call for all of them. And I was thinking about that earlier because of your family and your just preaching. Your family's a preaching machine.
Yes.
So just, I'm not calling her a preacher, but just that you're going to know.
Yes.
But because how big the family is and how large yours seems to be going, Matt, just
thank you, Father.
You know, my oldest daughter is turning 12 this year.
Mm-hmm.
My oldest daughter is turning 12 this year. Her name is Zoe. And she learned how to read when she was 3. And then her favorite verse she got was Proverbs 3:5-6. She memorized when she was 3.5. She learned how to speak in tongues when she was 4. It has nothing to do with me because I was not like that. She didn't get that from her dad. She got that from the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And then Angel came, and then we have Matthew. So we have 3 miracle babies. But it's the impartation when they're young. We don't think. Kids, by the time they're 13, have decided everything they're going to do in their life.
Mm-hmm.
By the 13. But it's supernatural, so let's pray.
Yes.
Lord Jesus, thank you.
Thank you, Jesus.
God deposit inside.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh,
no,
Thank you, Jesus.
That would burn inside of her heart and her
desire.
Well, that she would want it. She would not even have to be taught it per se, Lord, but it would burn inside of her. Teach me this, teach me that.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, I declare that in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Matt.
Just like we said to you when you guys were getting married, you're anointed to be her husband, and you're anointed to be his wife.
Yep.
So when you go, what the heck is wrong with him? The Holy Spirit will help you. And when you go, what is wrong with her? The Holy Spirit will help you guys come back together, right? Well, it's the same thing with being parents. And for years, I heard, you're a bad mother because of choices that my kids made. But I want to remind everybody here today that Adam and Eve had the perfect father and still made the choice.
Yeah.
So we're not bad mothers. We're doing exactly what God has called us to do. And when you don't know the answer, he's going to give it to both of you. And literally all it is, Lord, help me right now. And he'll give you what to say. And he's going to tell you stuff that they're doing. Well, he probably already has. That they're like, how'd you know that? Because I'm a Holy Ghost mom. And I'm a Holy Ghost dad. And so you guys are doing an awesome job. I have high respect for you, for what you've done, and how you have brought this family together. And I really, really say, excellent job, Benny. I'm very extremely proud of you. And I'm very proud of you too, Jackie.
And God's going to bless you guys.
Yes. Yeah.
Beyond what he has.
Yeah.
And beyond what you can think.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah, no doubt.
Amen.
No doubt.
That's right.
Amen. Hallelujah. So, I mean, everybody knows the Moochies around here, but would you just turn around for a quick moment and just look at this precious little, not Vinny, but look at this precious little gift. Hallelujah.
So we present this certificate to you, Miss Gianna Everly Moochie, who is dedicated to the Lord, and her parents have committed to dedicating her to the Lord every day of her life on Sunday, May 31st, 2026, at Higher Ground Ministries. So we present this to you, Dad, and then she has her own special Bible to treasure forever. And we love you. Let's give them a hand.
Give them a hand clap. Come on. Praise God. Love you guys. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Now, everybody just lift your hands to heaven right now. Father, we thank you for all of our children. Lord, we thank you right now. We know they are a gift from you. So, Father, we thank you that you've blessed us, and we thank you for the anointing to raise our babies in these days. Regardless of what it looks like out there, the condition in here is right before you. So, Father, we thank you for your anointing to help our babies, our children, our teenagers, even our young adults at our kids. We're going to be able to raise them, guide them, lead them to walk out the call that you have for them. In the name of Jesus, I thank you for this. And, Father, we also stand here together. Yes, we're sitting, but we stand together in agreement for those that are believing to have children.
Yes.
Just as Matt testified, it's in your time.
Thank you, Lord. That's right.
The key to what Matt said is, will you wait?
Yes. I love that.
For your perfect time.
Awesome.
So Father, we stand in agreement, those that are believing, that those promises will come to pass.
Yes.
We're not going to waver. We're not going to question. We're just going to trust you. And Lord, we thank you for the day that we can testify that God has honored his word once again.
Yes.
Lord, we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Now, everybody shout amen.
Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Did you bring a Bible?
Yes.
That's a good thing because we're a Bible church. Amen. So if you would open up your Bibles this morning to Proverbs. Let's go to Proverbs here for a quick moment or two. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 22. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, while you're turning to Proverbs, this I'm staying in our same series that we've been in. It did not start off as a series. It just ended up being a series, and I'm having fun preaching it. So until God says otherwise, we're just going to stay on the series. Go to church. Amen. Amen. I'm going to say it again. Go to church. Now, you're in church, so you might be thinking, why are you preaching go to church? I've come to this conclusion. There's been a couple of things that have brought me here. One, we've run into friends, and I'm sure you have too, but in our case, because our ministry, you know, one of the main deals that we have here is we've got our youth center, our children's church. We're very kid-orientated. So we run into different people. They're raising their kids, and they're like, are you still doing the youth thing? And we're like, well, yes. And like, well, I got to get my kids there. Great, praise God. But my question is, well, what about you? You know you got to get your kids there, but what about you? And they give all their little song and dances to, well, and they hem and haw and so whatever. And but, you know, okay, so you know you got to get your kids there. But then you ask the question, like, well, why is it so important for you to get your kids to church but not you? And they can't answer it on both ends. Why they got to get their kids there and why for them? Because most of the world and, unfortunately, a lot of the church doesn't even know how to explain why you need to go to church. Because we might go out there and evangelize and say, hey, listen, you got to go to church. Okay, why? We got great music. Well, I got music in my truck. Well, we have the word. Okay. But so I need to listen to somebody lecture me? And most people can't, beyond that, they don't realize why God wants us to go to church. This isn't just so we come together and we have a place to say, yes, those are true, but why? And that's what we've been dealing with this in this series. We started off in John chapter 11 where Jesus tells Lazarus to come out of the tomb. And then he comes out because he had to respond. I joke around, but still, the reality is Lazarus had to respond. He could have just done like most of the modern church does. Well, God, if you want me to, you're going to make it happen. Jesus didn't go in the tomb and drag him out. Lazarus had to work up to get to his feet, somehow hop out of that tomb. We don't know how long that took. That wasn't just an instant thing. Jesus had to wait for him, and Jesus waited for him. Then when he finally comes out, because he responded to the call, it wasn't done. This is where the church comes in. Jesus commanded his disciples, remove the grave clothes. It takes the church to help you and I get the grave clothes off, because when he said take off the grave clothes, it follows the same meaning as the word anointing, to destroy. We need to get the grave clothes off and destroy them so we don't put them back on. We've got too many people in the house of God that are parading around their grave clothes. Hey, look at what I got. I still have it. I don't know what they call these little boxes, but we have them. Some of you sports guys have this for those jerseys you hang up on the wall, the glass case. I got a Tom Brady. Well, right next to my Tom Brady is my grave clothes. Don't they look nice? And we celebrate them. No, God said, take them off and destroy them. We need the church to help us to do that, because the church will help you and remind you, why are you putting that back on? Why are you grabbing those things again? You were delivered from that. Why are you going back to that? Amen. Amen. We need the church to help us do that and to find out what is grave clothes and what's not. Amen. So we started with that. Then we went to Matthew chapter 22, and we talked about, you know, Jesus with the parable about the rich man wedding for the prince. And everybody was invited. Everybody had their excuse why not to come. Then he said, go out into all the cities, highways, byways, find all the good and the bad. Invite everybody. But then when the wedding supper takes place and the ruler comes down, he doesn't celebrate because the place is full. He focuses and zeroes in on one guy who's out of place. Because in that culture of that day, the wedding clothes, when you showed up to the wedding, you were presented a garment so everybody looked right. They were presenting themselves right. You and I, we're to put on Christ. So we talked about you can't serve Jesus however you want. It takes the church to show you how to walk with Jesus. Now, it takes a church that stays with the word. There's a lot of places calling themselves churches that I walk into, and it's not about the suit and tie. But I'm sorry. I do have a problem. Not with those sitting in the congregation, but when you got the preacher who doesn't know if he's coming or going. He's wearing sneakers, ripped up skinny jeans, and a tuxedo and a ball cap. Somebody's confused. God's not. The Bible's not. But somebody behind the pulpit's confused. The scriptures are extremely clear on how to present yourself to God. It's not about the suit and tie. But come on, we're supposed to bring our best. Because our job, especially as the leadership, the preachers, we're supposed to help raise the bar, not bring the bar down. It isn't about you have to look like me. But come on, let's bring the bar up. We're to bring our best to God. Amen. It's reasonable when you go to a wedding, even today, that you present yourself. You don't just show up in ripped jeans. Well, I guess it depends on which wedding you're going to. Most weddings that you want, there's an expectation you're going to show up a certain way. One of our friends, their son just got married, and they sent out the invitations. And on the invitations, it was a black tie, black dress affair. They actually had specifications. If you're coming to this wedding, this is how you dress. They have that right. It's their wedding. God has that right. It's his wedding. He expects us to present himself a certain way. Amen. It's our reasonable service. Well, we learn this in church. You're not going to learn this on a podcast. You're not going to learn this on the internet. Not knocking those things. They can be used as great tools, but that's not how God set this up. We looked at Luke chapter 18, where, you know, we see the publican and the Pharisee. This is spiritual posture that you learn in church. It's not just coming on with a suit and tie to church, and it's not about the suit and tie. But when you come to church, how you treat the things of God, how you present yourself to God while you're here, your attitude when you're here. The Pharisee was judging everybody except himself. And when he was judging down, not judging up. You know, the publican, he's in the back, and he's like, listen, Lord, I don't even belong here. I don't deserve to be here. He wouldn't even look up to heaven. He beat himself on the chest just like, Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm messed up. I need your help. I can't do this without you. He wasn't even looking around, but the Pharisee's like, at least I'm not like him. Well, that's not the attitude in the kingdom of God. God always wants us to go further, do better, get better. Amen. You and I as parents, leaders, spiritual moms and dads, the teachers, the, you know, whatever it is, pastors, we want everybody to go further than we did, do better than we did, learn it sooner than we did, right? Unfortunately, that's not always the case with a lot of people. But we learn this in the house of God. We don't get jealous when somebody's going further than we went. Or learned it sooner than we did. We rejoice over that. Amen. There's a spiritual posture that you learn in the house of God. How to present yourself. How you treat the things of God. Amen. John chapter 10, verse 27, we talked about knowing the voice of God. You learn the voice of God in church. You learn the word of God. And I use the illustration about my wife with her father. As far as, you know, my father-in-law used to say a whole bunch of things. I say a lot of his things. I learned, my whole foundation is him. So those who sat under my father-in-law, when I say something, I don't have to say, my father-in-law used to say, Pastor Carey used to say, I don't have to say that anymore. But those who sat under him and remember, wait a minute, that's what he said, you hear his voice. Now, you may not hear his actual voice, but you hear it saying, wait a minute, I remember Pastor Carey used to say that. He used to preach that. Amen. When we preach the word of God, you're hearing God's voice. This is his word. His voice is attached to his word. So when the word is being preached in the house of God, when you hear something contrary out there, you go, that doesn't sound like him. You don't say, well, that's not what he wrote. No, we say, nah, that doesn't sound like God. That doesn't sound like his word. His voice is attached to his word, and you learn that in the house of God. Amen. So you can discern out there. Yes, we need the Holy Spirit, but you also need the Word of God so you know his voice. Because Satan comes as an angel of light. That means revelation. He'll try to tell you things. He knows the Word. He just doesn't have the revelation you have. He learned God's voice. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, and they follow me. Amen. Then we talked about in 1 Timothy chapter 4, 13 through 15, we talked about the laying on of hands for the appointment. Every one of you has an appointment. Today was one of those moments of laying hands on for an appointment. We don't know what the call is on her life. Only God does. But the laying on of hands is, all right, Lord, we thank you that there is an anointing right now. That may that gift start stirring even right now. that when she's in the house of God, when she's around the things of God, when her parents are ministering at home with the word or music they're listening, whatever, everything they're doing, may that gift be constantly stirred. Amen. Till that day where she can start to stir that gift herself. Amen. There's a laying on of hands for the anointing, for the appointment. It's not just, well, you're called to. No, we need an anointing for the appointment. That's what the laying on of hands is for. That happens in church. That happens in front of the congregation. That happens with the eldership of the church. You know, I'm going to say it this way. The established leaders that Jesus Christ has raised up and anointed. Because we got people in the back room laying hands on. They're called, but not by Jesus, by Satan. Trying to mess with and meddle with, no. But when God does it, the gift begins to stir. And God begins to stir it, amen. And then we went into Acts chapter 6, talking about the first deacons. That we need to keep the appointment. They were raised up. They were appointed. Hands were laid on them. But they had to do something to keep the appointment. They were called to do something. They had to protect it. We have seven that were called. Two the Bible talks about later on. Stephen, Philip. Stephen, it says that he was serving at the tables. Miracles happened. We don't know what those miracles were, but miracles were happening. But then he preached with such fiery boldness that it's the only time we see in the scriptures that when he was getting ready to go to heaven, Jesus stood up from his throne to receive him. And then there's Philip. He was the second in the list. Philip, not the apostle Philip, but he would be known as the evangelist. Philip, he's serving at the tables too. That's where the appointment started. But then, come on, his appointment later on, he's now sent out into the desert. Go stand and wait. What a call. At least he was serving in the house of God before. He's at least around some people before, right? He's serving in the house of God. He's around. And man, he can feel the presence of God. Now you're going to go, okay, go stand in the desert and wait. Gee, thanks, God. What an assignment. But then, of course, the Ethiopian eunuch goes by reading the word of God, reading Isaiah. How can I possibly understand this unless somebody teaches me? Hey, I can teach you. I know what that says. Begins to teach, preach. He gets born again, spirit-filled. Hey, there's water. Why? Anything keep me from getting water baptized? Coolest miracle. I'm still praying for it to happen in my life. He baptizes him in water. The Ethiopian comes up, and then all of a sudden, Philip, gone. Translated to the next city where he's evangelizing. I'm praying that on some of these trips I have to go on, and I want to go on, may I be translated. They get it. They travel just like I do. But come on. Now, it's not just keeping the appointment, because that's what we dealt with on that one. The next service we dealt with is, you and I have no idea how big the appointment is. Philip. He's serving at the tables in the house of God. A job that nobody probably wanted to do. But he did it faithfully. God now calls him. Now he's evangelizing. His ministry's over. He's gone to heaven. 2,000 years later. Almost. The ministry in that moment, that appointment in the desert, caused the Ethiopian nation to get born again, spirit-filled. That Dr. Barclay, in the 80s, working with Jordan University, he was over there helping, and they established the kibbutz that all the Jews were coming back and getting lands and setting all things up. That was, they actually came from that lineage, and they kept saying that, no, we're of Philip. 2,000 years, almost 2,000 years later, one appointment in a desert that made no sense to anybody. 2,000 years later, that appointment was still affecting a nation, which led to the first and maybe the only Christian kibbutz that was created because of one assignment that he protected and kept, one appointment. We have no idea how big the assignment, the appointment of God is. I also spoke about a young Sunday school teacher. His name slips my, Kimball was part of his name. Preaching and teaching to a handful of hyperactive teenage boys. That's not like youth group today. In that day, here, you go deal with them. We can't. We don't want them disrupting the service. You handle them. You deal with them. Get them out of here. today, I mean, we got a whole floor dedicated for these types of kids. Your kids. He preached the gospel. He was so concerned about making sure those boys met Jesus Christ that he didn't just do what he had to do on Sunday school. He followed one of those kids to the shoe department that he worked in because he was like, no, I'm making sure all of these boys know Jesus before they leave my children's or youth group, whatever they would have called it in that day. Leading a D.L. Moody to the Lord Jesus Christ, which would cause a chain of events, one preacher leading another to another to another, all the way down to a young Billy Graham giving his life to Jesus Christ, winning, they said at that time, 2.2 billion people to the Lord Jesus Christ, all because of one faithful Sunday school worker. Now, I know people say, well, if God's going to do it, God's just going to do it anyways. God's going to do what he's going to do, yes. But he also knows who's going to fulfill what he's called them to do. God doesn't make things happen down here. He works through us so these things happen down here. One faithful Sunday school teacher, 76 years later, would result in a Billy Graham becoming born again. You and I have no idea how big the appointment is. Only God does. Satan doesn't know how big the appointment is, but he's terrified on how big it could be. That's why he messes with, meddles with, and tries to keep everybody, especially your kids, out of church. You know, our day, we didn't have sports on Sundays. Now today, everything's on Sunday. Why? You think that's just because that's everybody's so busy. Oh, no, don't tell me that. Satan knows there's an appointment on your kids. Satan knows that if he can keep them out of church, especially at a younger age. You know, there's many statistics, studies, you know, 13 years of age, they've pretty much decided what they're going to do in life. And it's about that same time frame that they've learned just about everything they're going to learn. Why does it seem that why does it seem like it's that age bracket leading up to that everything is so busy to keep them out of God's house? Because once he's got them there, the teenage years, that's easy. They're already distracted. Oh, no, we got to do. Amen? Right. I think I just heard somebody say phones. Great tool from the pit of hell. Yes. Nothing but a distraction. Keep them busy. I saw that. Amen. So then we started last Tuesday. We were talking about, last Sunday, the Evelines were with us, and they were talking, Pastor Chuck was talking about signs where we live today, right? There's all the signs are pointing. He's coming back anytime now. There's nothing left. He's just waiting on us. Pastor Chuck said the same thing I've been saying for years. God knows who that last person will be to give their life to him. God knows. I heard missionary come in years ago and say kind of similar thing. He goes, so if God's waiting on us, why don't we just get our job done so we can go home? Let's just win everybody we can and go home. Why put up with the rest of this, you know, tarry this, cause this to last any longer? Let's just evangelize and go home. Amen. So Pastor Chuck preached on that. I exhorted a little bit more on that and just saying, listen, you know, there are signs when the word is being preached in here that kind of give you that, ouch, he's picking on me. You know what's funny? Every time I've driven my vehicle, I'd love to say that every vehicle I've ever owned has been perfect. No problems, no issues. No. In fact, my last road trip that I went on, my check engine light came on. Because of my past and who I am and what I've done, I know what those lights mean. And certain lights, certain colors, and the way they come on, they mean certain things that at times kind of bugs me. My check engine light came on, it came flashing. That means there's an emissions problem. And it's saying, listen, you better fix this now. Went on for 20 seconds, went off. I'm like, okay. I got home, I brought it to the dealership. They said, yeah, we see this, and no issue, no problem, whatever. We'll just keep an eye on it. I get that. But you know what I never did? Anytime those warning lights came on, my stinking truck is picking on me. Stinking jerk. Can't believe it's frustrating me right now. Now, back in the day, we used to yell at our cars. Come on, sweetheart, start. You stinking piece of junk. That's none of our new cars. So this is all like the 40s and overs. We remember those vehicles. No, those lights come on for a reason. To get your attention. Something's not right. When the word is being preached, it's God, the Holy Spirit, saying something's not right. Especially when it's hitting you right here. It's not the preacher picking on. It's God saying, wait a minute, your fellowship, your, what you're watching, what you're entertaining, what you're listening, what you're doing, something's not right. It will cause you, if you don't deal with this, it can cause, we would call it catastrophic failure. Amen. So when the words preach, this happens in church, because you know why you can't get this on the TV? Click. Well, actually, that doesn't happen anymore. Click. Or actually, now it's like, sorry, change the channel. It's all changed. When we were kids, it was, hey, John, go change the channel. We were the remote. See, the TV, you can change it. The internet, you can change it. The podcast, they never really deal with it. It's in the house of God with a preacher who's not afraid of you, who says, listen, this is what the Holy Spirit's saying. Yeah. It's God saying, listen, this is the warning light. This is why we need church. Amen. Pastor, why do you review this so much? Because not everybody's in every one of these services. And we all need this. Amen. Proverbs, you there? Before we end the service, we might want to hit a verse or two, right? Proverbs 22. Train up a child. Train. Train. Train requires a couple of things. Teaching, yes. Verbal, yes. Discipline. And then also, now go do it. See, if you're going to train somebody, you have to show them, teach them, let them do it, and then critique them. That's what we do with our kids. That's what we're supposed to do with our kids. Train them. Now, church removes some things. It removes traditions. We're not supposed to bring the traditions of our families and our world in the world in here. Because depending on where you're from, we've already said it, so I'll say it again. We got New York, Boston, Chicago. Just because of the demographic locations, never mind cultural backgrounds, locations, there are different traditions, different ways of thinking. You know, I my family is from the city. Kate grew up in Westminster. When I see a kid playing on the sidewalk, I don't think anything about it. I'm used to that. That's how I grew up, playing on the streets of, you know, the sidewalks of Dorchester. Kate sees and she's like, where are the parents? I can't believe they're playing on the sidewalk. Don't they know? I'm like, what's the big deal? Two different locations. Has nothing to do with family background. It's just locations. So when we come to church, we're supposed to, all that stuff isn't supposed to apply here. This is what applies here. We bring it to the Word of God. This is what God says. This is how we act. This is how we live. This is what we do. So we start to teach and preach and train. Amen. And if we're going to raise up our kids, they're watching you. They're not paying attention to the preacher. They're paying attention to how you respond to the preacher. Wait a minute. Not just while you're here. More so when you leave here. They're paying attention to what you say in the vehicle after you've left here because you didn't like what the preacher just said. They're paying attention to what you're doing when you get home after what the preacher just preached about what you're not supposed to be doing at home that you're doing at home. Because that's what the Word of God says. Amen. So when we're training, it's not, and it's not the pastor's job to raise your kids. It's not the youth group's job to raise your kids. It's not our children's church job to raise your kids. You train up a child, your child, in the way that they should go. Now, church also does, because I said it earlier about good friends. God will bring. Sometimes, and some of you are dealing with this, some of you have this, that you may not have the best background or family members or whatever at outside of here, but God has brought some things in here for you. God has replaced family members, moms, dads, by some of the elders in the church. They become like a mom or a dad to you. Well, their job isn't just to say, hey, mom, hey, dad. Their job is to help train you now, to help you walk these things out. Amen. Train up a child in the way, in the way that they should go. Simply put, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. So if we're going to bring them in the way that they should go, we've got to find out how Jesus said to live, right? I know this is why this is exhorting. You know this. I'm just reminding you to do what you already know to do. Amen. So train up a child in the way that they should go. And when, or the literal translation says, even when they're old, they won't depart from it. When we bring our babies to the house of God, we train them in the house of God, we lead them in the ways of God, in the house of God. We're not saying that every child's going to go off and do, because not every child has. Thank God. But some have. But the one thing they can't escape is what was already put in them. God will follow them wherever they go and remind them. You know better than this. You were raised different than this. You know what the Word of God has to say about this. So even when they're old, so there's that one part that even when they're old, they won't depart. So God will remind them, God will keep them. But how about on the other side of this? Even when they're old, because you train them and raise them up, even when they're old, they're never going to find a place where, you know what, I can put this aside now. I've gone far enough now. I've done enough now. There's spiritual retirement for me now. There is no retirement in this kingdom. We walk with God, we endure until the end, and then when this is all said and done, we've been found worthy to escape everything that's coming. We go to be with Him. There's no retirement. I say that and I emphasize that because unfortunately, I've watched a lot of quote-unquote elders. They walk with God, and then they hit this point in their lives where it's like, I've done enough. I don't have to do anymore. Well, like, you show me a Bible verse that says that you're done serving God. There's not one. I've had even some of those people say to me, well, you know, Pastor Sam Smith, he retired. Pastor Sam Smith, for all you new folk, my father-in-law, that was his pastor. He pastored down at Seekonk, started a massive, awesome work down there, and then he got sick later on in life, and then he retired from the pulpit and then went back down to Texas where he was originally from. But he did not retire from God. Because when he went down to, and I was so blessed because I met the pastor that he was going to that church at one of our conferences. And Pastor Sam's name came up, and that pastor said, wait a minute, do you know Pastor Sam Smith, like Seekonk? Yeah, how do you know him? He's like, well, he's one of our elders in our church. Like, that's awesome. Praise God. We knew him, and we went on. He goes, you have no idea what a blessing this man is to me. Well, like, well, we knew Pastor Sam, so obviously. He goes, no, you don't. He goes, he takes all of our young ministers, and he just pours into them in the back room, and he teaches them what it is to be a minister, what is to be a pastor. The assignment changed, but his ministry didn't change. Just the assignment in his ministry changed. He never retired. He retired when he took his last breath and went to heaven. There's no retirement in this kingdom. We serve until we go stand face to face. Amen. So when it says that even when they're old, they won't depart, that something in you, that there's still an excitement to serve God. I don't say it to stir you up. But when I stand behind the pulpit, I'm like, I don't know about you, but I'm excited. Yeah. Amen. That's not to get you going. I'm telling you, I'm excited. Yeah. God's doing something. Yeah. I'm excited because I'm still breathing. Yeah. I get to serve Him another day. We sing the song, I don't know exactly the words, but basically, if I'm still here, He's not done with me. And if He's not done with me, then we're not done. There's something God's doing. There's something that God wants to do, and I get to be part of it. I'm excited. Amen. You got to train your kids. Now, in Hebrews chapter 10, go there really quick. Hebrews chapter 10. You know these verses. I've been preaching in and out of these forever. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, it says, let us consider one another to provoke, to provoke unto love and unto good works. It's that provoke word. That means stir up, to stir somebody up, to get them excited. But how do you get somebody excited about something they're not excited about? Do you just tell them to get excited? No. You got to show them. You know, I joke around, but I'm really not joking around. You know, when we have these different people and just, I watch this. You know what? You got to go to church with me. You'll love our church. Our preacher, he preaches the word. It's good. It'll bless your life. You got to go to church. Why on earth would I want to go there? That sounds exciting. Sounds like you're having a blast. Now, but it's also not on the other side of this. Oh my God, you got to go to church with me. We just had this awesome service. You wouldn't believe what happened. We got this nut from Chicago. We heard about New York. We don't know what's going on. Dude, I think they need to up your meds. What on earth? We're not talking about being fake and phony either. Because I've watched both my entire Christian life. See, when you're excited about something, everybody knows it. Everybody can see it. When you're passionate about something, come on. And that's what we're stirring up. Listen, I'm not trying to convince you. That's not my job to convince you. But I guarantee if you stick around and you watch me, you'll see that this isn't a show. Now, we know this. Well, excuse me. Some of you know this. I am not like my father-in-law. I know this is a shock for some of you. Those of you who knew my father-in-law. I'm not my father-in-law. I don't have the way he was. Part of it's because of just how I grew, where I was, all that stuff. But for those of you who have never met my father-in-law and you want to get a glimpse, my wife. Kate is her dad in a skirt, if she wore skirts. In fact, she did one of those filters one day, you know, those stupid little filters you do on your phone. It freaked me out because her dad was actually looking, don't you ever do that again. That's not funny. Her and Don thought it was a riot. Don't you ever do that again. There is no man that on this planet I honor more highly than my father-in-law. And I'm talking dead or alive because he was my father-in-law. He was my first pastor. But don't ever. That freaked me out. So you remove the filter. She's her dad. Same energy, same excitement. I mean, you guys know she's an exhorter. When somebody gets blessed, she's excited that you got blessed. And it's not fake and phony with her. She's just, it's in her. And because of that, it's contagious. People want to be around her. Because they can see, she's not putting on a show. I want that. Why are you so excited? God. And she'll preach, she'll prophesy, she'll do everything that we do. Amen? So the provoke, how do you provoke? You start living what you're believing. Amen? And it causes a stir. And it starts to stir people up. Well, we're talking about our kids, training up a child. If you're not excited about church, don't be shocked that your kids aren't. If you're not excited about the things of God, don't be surprised because your kids aren't. If you've got every excuse under the sun, because it's the same three excuses we've had for 2,000 years, don't be surprised that your kids have an excuse why they can't go to youth group, why they don't want to go to youth group, why they don't want to read their Bible, why they don't want to do, why they don't want to, because they're watching you. You know, I'm of that generation. I remember it. Today it boggles my mind even more, but, you know, the Saturday mornings we had those cartoons, then they gave us the little commercials. The Reagan administration, to keep us off of drugs. The father walks into the bedroom. He pulls out the little cigar box. Why on earth, dads, would we give our kids cigar boxes? Here, go put all your stuff in this cigar box. That was my generation. And then they wondered, why are you smoking? Well, you sowed the seeds. The dad walks in. He opens up the top drawer, pulls out the cigar box. It's got the kids' weed in it. Where'd you get this? Who taught you how to do this? How many remember that commercial? Yeah. And what was the kid's response? I learned it by watching you. Yeah. Now, today, we've legalized that. Today we celebrate that. There's another passage that goes right along with this, but it's the opposite of this. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. It starts off, children, obey your parents. Verse 1, in the Lord. Parents, obey your children. Actually, that's how it is going today. Parents, obey your children. I've actually watched that, even in this church. Why aren't you coming to church? Because my kids forbade me. Huh? Who raised who? Children, obey your parents. Let's get that in its proper order. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. In the Lord. So, you know, obviously, you know, we know not every person on this planet, especially even come to church, not every person coming in here that our parents are born again, spirit-filled, sanctified, delivered from. So when it says children obey your parents in the Lord, no, we still live according to the scriptures. Amen. Now, we're not going to go too deep in that road, but come on. You know, I've been attacked by many people, you know, because of certain stands I've had to make in my family. I'm like, listen, I am showing honor. But there's nowhere in honor that says I have to fellowship with everybody. I can still respect and honor, but I'm not going to fellowship with that garbage because of what it does, what it causes, where it brings. Now, if they want to change that, then praise God. Hallelujah. I'm praying for that. But the only way I can show honor is not go there, because I won't go there because God said not to go there. Other deal. Verse 2, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Okay. That it may be well with thee, that they mayeth live long on the earth. So the level of honor you show your parents in the Lord will determine God's blessing and how long you'll have his blessing. Verse 4, this is the verse I want to zero in on. Fathers. Now, we could put mothers in here too, but of course, you know, obviously in this season, this time, the father is the authority. Now, fathers are still the spiritual authority in the house. Just unfortunately, that's not always the case, but still, so we'll put mothers here as well. So parents, provoke not. Now, we just read a verse in Hebrews, provoke. Here it says, provoke not. Provoke not your children to wrath. Don't stir them up. Don't allow your misbehavior to get them excited about your misbehavior. What do you mean by that, Pastor? We had the Evelines with us last week. No matter where preachers go, we turn everything into a message. Everything's a sermon. So the Evelines were with us. Pastor Chuck, he's a historian buff, and he's a sports guy. And my take on him is particularly a baseball guy. I'm not a big sports guy. You guys know that. However, I know he's a big sports guy. Fenway is the oldest ballpark in the nation. He wanted to go there, so we kind of figured out, hey, let's get some tickets. And, you know, they had a game playing while they were here, so we took him to the game. So, ladies, I'm sorry, I did not backslide, but while you were having your meeting, Pastor Chuck and I were having our seminary at the Red Sox game. And I say that for a reason, because while we're sitting there, he got the full package. I know every state, every city has, you know, they claim their fans a certain way. Well, he got the full taste of Boston fans. We love our team as long as they're winning. When they're not doing good, everybody should be fired. It's cut and dry, plain and simple. So he got the full thing, and he got, you know, and of course he's mature, he's been, you know, he got the whole Boston, and then he got drunk Boston. So that's all around us. There's this kid sitting behind us, for all you teenagers, he was somewhere 6 or 7. And that legit-wise, when I looked at him, I'm gauging him to be 6 or 7 years of age. I'm telling you right now, that kid could heckle with the best. I've heard adults who could not heckle like this could. Angel was with us. He heard this kid. This kid could heckle. In fact, at one point, I caught him and I almost turned around. He caught himself because he was about to start cursing. I'm like, but I leaned over to Pastor Chuck. I'm like, where'd he learn that? Where'd he learn those phrases? Where'd he learn those statements? No 6 or 7 year old starts chanting and getting the crowd going. This kid got the crowd going. Am I exaggerating? This 6, 7 year old kid got the crowd going. Sell the team, sell the team, sell the team. I've never heard that before. But I looked at Pastor Chuck, I'm like, that kid did not come up with that on his own. Who's stirring him? Of course, then I'm looking for his parents. And his mother is sitting there, proud as a peacock. That's my boy. I wouldn't be proud of that. Because my next statement to Pastor Chuck was, I guarantee you, those parents can't understand why in school they keep being called in because that kid's so disrespectful to the teachers. Don't tell me this is just a sports thing. Oh, it's just fun. It's a baseball game. Where do you think that goes? Sell the team was one of the mild things that kid was saying. And then, of course, we got the drunk guys in front of him. Oh, they're getting all excited. Oh, yeah, this. And this is what I'm hearing. This kid understands it. Now they're encouraging him and justifying him. So when it says provoke, don't stir up. Don't get excited. And teach excitement about this misbehavior that we see all over the place. I've heard this. Well, you know, that's just their opinion. So we celebrate they have a right to their own opinion. I'm sorry. My kids don't have their own opinion until they're 18. And they know that. They're my kids. It's my house. Now, yes, we talk. We do, I'm not a dictator in my house, but they understand it. It's like, no. When you have your own, how many have ever heard? When you have your own house, you can do whatever you want there, but as long as you're under my roof. And yes, we sound like our parents now. There's nothing wrong with that sometimes. Amen. But stir up. Stir up. And then in this case, don't stir up. Where did this kid learn this? And where's that going to take him in life? Because I flat out know where it's going to take him. So you and I, as we're raising, this is why church is so important, because we find out, because that's being celebrated everywhere right now. I mean, it doesn't matter if it's an election, if it's a school board committee, if it's standing out in front of the police department. Well, it's their right. Well, just because it's their right doesn't make it right. Come on, that's it. Who taught him it was right? Now let's flip that back around to Hebrews. How much more important? When we get excited about the things of God, then when they see that we're excited about the things of God, we're training up our children not just in the word. They need the word. Can't do this without the word. But how about your level of excitement? How about how much you love to serve God? I'm way out of time right now, but I was going to bring you to a gentleman by the name of Asaph of the Old Testament. I want to just highlight it for just a quick moment. Asaph, he's a praise and worship guy appointed by David, King David, when he's bringing the Ark of the Covenant back to Israel, back into Jerusalem. This is after that, you know, that he finds out, okay, no, not just anybody can handle the Ark. Only the Levites can handle the Ark by the instruction of God. When David comes to that realization, he has the Levites do his thing. This is one of the Levites, and of course, he's part of that team. He, later on, he gets promoted to basically praise and worship leader. And then from there, there's almost a, I think it's 550, 580, depending on who you study, almost 580 years of lineage. And the Bible keeps referring to Asaph's sons. That no matter how bad things got under good kings, or when it was good under good kings, corrupt under bad kings, Asaph's sons stayed faithful. They served God faithfully. that for almost 600 years, you keep seeing his sons' names come up. His sons, Asaph's sons, Asaph's sons. And to the same calling, praise and worship, praise and worship. Where'd they learn that? Asaph had to teach them. Asaph had to train them. Because we don't have very many other people in the scriptures that they were excited to serve God and their family followed. So what did they do that was different? They stirred them up. They provoked them. They saw that, wait a minute, this is how we serve God. This is how we walk with God. This is how we live with God. And it was passed down to the next generation and kept it even under bad kings. Now, you study your Bible, you find out how corrupt some of these kings were, how wicked some of these kings were. Right down to they cast God out. Or I should say they kicked God out. They can't cast him out. They kicked God out. And God stayed away until another king would come, cleanse the house, cleanse the land, cleanse the temple, find the word of God, bring it back, and then put Asaph's sons right back into worship to lead the nation back in. That happened. They would call it temple. We call it church. They train these kids. You and I, we're doing that right now. This is why church is so important. So when you come in here, oh, I got to get to church. Don't be surprised. Your kids are doing the same thing. Pastor's making me stinking clean again. Doesn't he understand that there's a game on? I do, and I don't care. No, but it's not being fake and phony. Come on. We've been around this long enough. Some of you have been around this long enough. I've seen the goofy on all ends. You know, those who don't know which end is up. So much excitement and zeal for God, but nothing is holy. It's all goofy. Well, that can get them all goofed up too. So let's just stick with God. Stick with the Bible. Stick with the Holy Spirit. Amen? This is why church is so important, because when you stay in a church that you're called to, where the word is being preached, you're going to learn how to walk with God, serve God. Not goofy, not weird, just holy, righteous. Amen? Where we have believers where they have the fruit of the Spirit being produced instead of spiritual fruitcakes. Amen? Provoke is the King James word. Stir up. It's not just about laying hands, though that's part of it. It has its place. It's not just about the certificate. Amen? It's what you do with it. That's why this is for all of us. It doesn't matter how young your kids are or how old they are. Amen? Sometimes older, you got to go back and not repent to your kids, but in a sense repent. Hey, wait, I did some things wrong. I didn't act right. I didn't live right. I didn't do right. This was wrong how I handled. Amen? That's okay. That's proper. This is with God, and this is how we're going to do it. So forgive me for doing that, but this is how we're going to live going forward. Amen? Amen? Amen. May we train up our children in the way that they should go, that even when they're older, they won't depart from it. Can you say amen? Amen. Would you stand to your feet with me this morning? Hallelujah. Lift your hands to heaven right now. Father, we thank you and we praise you for your word. Lord, I thank you right now. I thank you for good fathers and mothers in the faith, both natural and also spiritual. Because as moms and dads, our actual kids, we're supposed to be their moms and dads in the faith to lead them, to walk them, to show them, to train them. Lord, we thank you right now that we're anointed to do this. Lord, I thank you that your anointing is here right now in this hour to do this, where things are so different than just a short couple decades ago. We're anointed for this. We're appointed for this. Lord, help us to train up our children. Help us to lead them. Help us to stir them up the way they're supposed to be, excited for you, that may we have the same, if you tarry, the same legacy that an Asaph had, that all those years later that they could trace our family serving. Lord, I'm grateful for those that went before us, that helped us. My wife, you know, her dad, her mom, raised her in the house of God, in the things of God, and now here she is, a pastor's wife. Not because she has to, but because she wants to. because of what was instilled and how she was trained and how she was raised. Lord, I'm so grateful for it. Lord, my friends, the Weisses, same thing. Pastor Ed and Debbie, faithful to serve, to do, and now that family preaching, starting to take over the nation. Not because they have to, but because they want to. Because they were trained. They were stirred up biblically. So, Father, help us to all do this. Whether our kids are called to the pulpit, called to business, I believe some are called to the military. We need born-again, spirit-filled believers on the fields. And you've called some to be there to help lead their units into battle, but also lead their units to you. Politics, Lord, it doesn't matter where they're called. May we stir them up now to be excited about you. That no matter what the call is in life, be it ministry in the building, the church, or outside their ministry is, that even when they're old, they'll never be a departing from you. So, Father, I thank you for the anointing to help us right now. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' mighty name, in Jesus' name. Now you say this right now, Lord Jesus,
I need
more of your anointing for this hour to raise my kids. And it's available. So I'm reaching out right now to pull on more of that anointing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for joining us at Higher Ground Ministries. We pray today's message encouraged your heart and helped you grow in your walk with the Lord. Want to worship with us in person? Our services are Sundays at 10 a.m. and Tuesdays and Thursdays at 7 p.m. Learn more at hgministries.org and be sure to share this message with someone who needs encouragement today. Until next time, keep your eyes on Jesus and keep climbing higher.